This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This is the book I promised you we're going to learn, inshallah. It's called Al-Kaba'ir by one of the greatest scholars of Islam. I'm going to tell you a little bit about this scholar. His name is Shamsuddin Abu Muhammad Ibn Abdullah Al-Dhahabi, known as Al-Imam Al-Dhahabi. Dhahabi, actually, the literal translation is the golden imam. Look at the sisters, that all their eyes, I saw sparkling them. Once they hear gold and silver and emas, wow. The golden imam. Al-Imam al-Dhahabi, actually not the golden imam, but he was known as al-Hafidh. He was Hafidh. Allah has given him a great memory. So he memorized many ahadith. And he was in the level of Imam al-Nawawi. As Imam al-Nawawi had his 40 ahadith, this man also had his 40 ahadith. It is known as Al-Arba'un al-Dhahabiyya or Al-Arba'un al-Buldaniyya. A great scholar of Islam. He comes from a very humble family. His father used to be a jewelry repairer. He repairs jewelry. In the morning, you find him fixing jewelry of people. And in the afternoon, you find him in the masjid, serving ulama and learning from them. Serving ulama, looking after the ulama, and learning from them. So was his auntie. His auntie, the sister of his brother, was a great alima of Arabic language, and she was a student of the famous sheikh of Arabic language known as Ibn Malik. Not Imam Malik. Imam Malik, the great Imam Malik, we know. No, Ibn Malik, who wrote what we call Al-Alfiyya. Al-Alfiyya is 1,000 line of poetry about Arabic language. If you memorize this 1,000, you become scholar of Arabic. Better than the Arabs. But you have to go through school. So children, if they are put in this school, they learn this Al-Alfiyya. Besides learning the Quran, they are teaching the Al-Alfiyya. Why? Because all the rules of Arabic are there. Once you memorize that, that's it. You become a great scholar of Arabic language. So a challenge for those who want to learn Arabic. So she was a famous student, his auntie, was famous student of Imam Ibn Malik. His uncle also was a great scholar of Hadith. So he comes from a very good family that when he opened his eyes on books and reading Arabic language, poetry, his father working in the morning and afternoon going to the masjid to learn from scholars, so the children follow whatever parents do. He had 1,300 sheikh who participated in making Imam Nawawi. How many teachers we have? Since you went to school, how many teachers? Count. Maybe not even 50. Try to. Daycare. Primary, middle school. 1,300 sheikh. And he mentions them by name. I learned Arabic from so-and-so. I learned hadith from so-and-so. I read tafsir from... I learned. MashaAllah. So this man, may Allah have mercy on him, besides so many Islamic knowledge he has in different fields of sciences, Allah blessed him with this book. He wrote many books. I can show you a few, inshallah, later on. But he wrote this book. In this book, what he did a great service to Islam. Because most of us think there are only 7 major sins. Because there is a famous hadith about it. There is another famous hadith about the major sins, which are 10. But the Prophet ﷺ, out of his genius in teaching, he was not hitting Sahaba with 70 major sins in one set. Number one, you scare all of them. Second, it's not wise because they cannot memorize 70 in the same time. So, he says few here and few here and another occasion. This man, may Allah have mercy on him, what he did? Since he was good in hadith, he collected all those a hadith and put them in a book. And says, hey, careful. Stay away from these major sins. You want to go to Jannah? Just stay away from these major sins. Allah will erase your minor sins. And he based this book on two verses. One from Surah Ash-Shura, Ash-Shura, consultation. And the other one is from Surah An-Nisa. This book is based on two verses. Doesn't mean the sins are in Surah Ash-Shura and Surah An-Nisa. No. The title of the book, he got it from the word kaba'ir. Kaba'ir. Major sins. Al-kaba'ir. Verse Ash-Shura, verse 37. Allah says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش إلا اللمم إن ربك واسع المغفرة. In this verse, Allah says, and those who avoid major sins, except the small ones, indeed Allah is wide in His forgiveness. Indeed Allah is going to forgive you. Just avoid major sins. Stay away from the likes of shirk, the likes of magic and sorcery, the likes of killing, the like of zina. Stay away from these. You will enter Jannah by the mercy of Allah. So it's a good news. It's a good news. Alhamdulillah. The other verse where the word kaba'ir is mentioned, kaba'ir is plural of kabira, a major sin. Verse 31, Nisa, Surah 4, verse 31, Allah says, if you avoid major sins, we will forgive your minor sins. Ya Allah, you're going to forgive all my minor sins. That could be as many as the particles of sand. Just because I have never done a major sin? Yes. How about if I have done, as long as you made tawbah and you never gone back to it, you're fine. You are going to be forgiven. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But today what I'm going to do is to share with you these major sins so that you become immune. What do mothers and parents in general do to babies? What do they do? What do we do to kids? Medically speaking.
Vaccination.
Excellent. We vaccinate. What does it mean to vaccinate?
Increase the immunity.
To put that virus inside so that the body knows it. Once it knows that virus, it will be immune, quite immune from it. What do we do with this knowledge? When you spread this knowledge, you become sensitive to the sin. And you become like, Allahu Akbar, I cannot. If I'm doing this, I have to stop now. If I have never done it, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And when I see people doing it, I tell them to stop. Remember, just now the verses. Who are the people who are successful, Allah said? Among them, those who, when they see something wrong, they speak against it. When they see something good, they enjoin it. You cannot just be good by being silent. Cannot, my sisters and brothers. So, are we ready, inshallah, to embark on this beautiful journey all together? Each time, we're going to cover a few. Each time, we are going to cover few, inshallah. But before I go there, Imam al-Dhahabi, please remember his name, Imam al-Dhahabi, has written extensively in the following fields. In the science of Qira'at, science of how to recite the Qur'an, he has a book called At-Talwihat fi 'ilm al-Qira'at, just for your information. In Hadith, he has many books. One of them is called Al-Arba'un al-Buldaniya. He has another book called Al-Thalathun. He has another book called Turuq al-Hadith. Al-Kalam ala Hadith al-Tayr, Al-Mustadrak ala Mustadrak al-Hakim. All these books are very, very important books for students of knowledge. in Aqeedah. He has a book called Ahadith al-Sifat. He has another book called Kitab al-Arba'in fi Sifati Rabbi al-Alameen. He has another book called Juz'un fi Shafa'ah. He even spoke about the Shafa'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has a book, Juz'ani fi Sifati al-Nar. Two volumes in describing Jahannam. May Allah save me and you from it. الروع والأوجال في نبأ المسيح الدجال. He even wrote about the Masih al-Dajjal. He wrote a book called رؤية الباري, looking at the Creator on inshallah in Jannah. He has a book called Al-Arsh, the throne of God. He has this book called Al-Kabair. He has a book called After Death, ما بعد الموت. He has a book called مسألة الغيبة. He wrote extensively about غيبة. He knows the danger of it. And many other books. Just to mention a few. So you see our ulama, may Allah bless them, they spend all their life reading and learning and teaching so that others don't go to Jahannam. So that others don't go to heaven. And live happy, inshallah, before they meet Allah and be happy with them. So now, inshallah, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And we embark on this beautiful journey together. I ask Allah to give us the spiritual presence before the physical one. Sometimes we are physically present, but the mind is somewhere else. Please cut off yourself from the dunya. Cut off yourself from the phone, from the WhatsApp, from anything. Because we are talking about what leads you straight to hell. Meaning, if you avoid these things, you are in Jannah. Allah says, فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. One of the most dangerous ideas that Muslims have now and are victims of, the idea of future. Have you seen? I'm working for the future of my children. I want my children to have a good future. Do you know the future is either paradise or hell? But no one is thinking about it. That's the future. Whatever is coming is not called future. It's going to be present. Yesterday, compared to today, what was today for yesterday? Future, but now is today. Yesterday, when we were yesterday living, this day, this dust was in the future. Now we are in the present, right? In Jannah, there is no tomorrow. It's eternity. In Jahannam is eternity. That's what you should be worried. Many of us say, I need to leave some money for my kids. I need to do this. It's not that. You need to leave some iman with them. You need to live with the akhlaq. This is what you should focus on. But because we have become more Western-minded people, we think like that. Because they have no future. The future is in hell. So please, stop thinking about what you may leave for your kids in dunya. Allah is more generous than you. Allah is more powerful than you. He may give them more than what you expect. But leave them with iman. Give them iman. Give them taqwa. Bring them to a dars like this. Let them hear what are the major sins. If you want your children to be away from sins. The moment we leave from here, each one of you should share this. Sit with family and say, you know, today we learn this and this and this. Care for my children. That's all you may say. You don't have to be another chef today for 2 hours. You can't be chef. There's only one chef today of his kind. It's true. Everyone is unique. If I tell you there is only one Hanis, I'm not wrong. If I tell you there's only one Maimuna, I'm not wrong. Every human being is special in his or her. The way Allah made them, subhanAllah. Amazing. Okay. Now, why we need to learn this major sense? Because Allah said, stay away from that. He didn't say, don't do that. Okay. Now this is more difficult. Why more difficult? Actually, it's more easy. When are you more inclined to sin? When you avoid the sins or when you are around the sins? When you are around the sins. When you are around diseases, you are more inclined to get them. But when you are far from diseases, alhamdulillah, you're safe. So that's how we play. In Islam, we go by wiqaya. Wiqaya, we say, al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. Prevention is better than cure. So prevent. Stay away. Stay away. The first major sin is ash-shirk. You all know that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, except that I need to clarify a few things about shirk. Shirk, children, is what is coming to you. Before the end of time, the fitna, the tests and tribulations will be so many that the people start running towards shirk, whether they know it or they don't. But that's the result. The result, the consequence, is that people start running towards shirk. What will save me from shirk is the opposite of shirk, iman. When I know Allah, when I know the Prophet, والسلام, when I know what is waiting for me in Jannah, when I know what is waiting for me in hell if I mess up, all this will help me to be a good Muslim and to tahan, to stay put, steadfast, until I die. The moment you die, that's it. Alhamdulillah. You're fine. But till then, till the moment of death, you are still careful. And ask Allah to make you steadfast. Allahumma thabbit qulubana ala deenik wa ala ta'atik. Ya Allah, make our hearts strong and firm on your deen and on your obedience. A lot of people change at the end of their life. The worst kabira a person can commit is ash-shirku billah. It's known as shirk or al-ishraq. What is shirk? Amazing. The word shirk is coming from just three alphabets. Shin, Ra, and Kaf. When you don't join them, it becomes like this. Sharaka or Sharika. When you add Alif, Ashraka. Is from sharikat. I heard this when they were companionship, company, partnership. The word sharikat is not bad, okay? Don't go now and stop all your sharikat. No. What I mean is that people come in partnership. They need partners, right? They need partners in the business. That's why many banks are merging. That's why many companies are merging. They need each other. Does Allah need anyone? Why are you then adding that person to Him? Whether you know or you don't know. You know that Allah Azza wa Jalla, one of His most important sifat, غَنِيٌ عَنِ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah is ghani. Allah doesn't need anyone. Why are you then begging someone to forgive you, to ask Him, to ask Allah for you to forgive, to be forgiven, or to be given children, or to be given a marriage, or whatever you are looking for? And that's where many Muslims are committing shirk. There are two types of shirk. The first shirk is you put someone equal to Allah. This is called direct shirk. You put someone equal to Allah. What do I mean? What do you mean, Shaykh? I tell you how you put someone equal to Allah. Equal, eh? How about if you put him before Allah? Oh, that's super shirk. That's normal shirk. When you put someone near Allah, for example, you love someone the way you love Allah. Loving. Uh-oh. I give you an example of shirk that most of us fall into, we don't know. Allah is calling you for Salat al-Asr. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. You know it's Salat al-Asr, right? and your child or your wife or your husband or say, let's go for shopping. If you love Allah, you will pray first. If you love your wife or your spouse or your children, you go. So now, you have shown that you love these people more than Allah. Because Allah can wait. He's so nice, you know, so He can wait. Don't do that with God. If He's so nice, don't make Him wait. Don't take people's beauty and goodness as weakness. Don't do that. That's very bad. So I say Salat first. Salat dulu. Then, and please know for sure, may Allah have mercy to you and me, that when you pray, Allah will take care of everything else. When you don't pray, He will make you sometimes see the pressure and the stress of what you wanted. But when you put Allah first, He will take care of what you want to do, inshallah, and get. So sometimes we love our children, our properties, our businesses, our companies, our bosses, our more than Allah. That's unfair. Huh? If you love London the way you love Mecca. Uh-oh. If you love a city the way you love Mecca, the three cities that should be on the top list of your love is Mecca, Medina, and Quds, Jerusalem. Even in Aqidah, they don't teach us these things. But I cannot love another city more than... I have seen I love New York, I've seen I love KL, but I haven't seen I love Mecca. I haven't yet seen. If you have seen, that's good.
T-shirt.
Must. When are our kids going to be more creative? SubhanAllah, except in dunya. In dunya, they are quite creative. I love Mecca. I love Medina. I love Jerusalem. I love Al-Quds. Something like this. And you still can make money. Nice t-shirt. Here is, I give you idea. SubhanAllah. Things like this. So, if you love someone the way you love Allah, that's wrong. Allah should be always first. Allah should be always first. Taib. If you worship somebody other than Allah, such as a stone, there are many people who go and touch stones. Do not touch stone. Listen. Don't touch any stone except Hajj al-Aswad. Why? Because the Prophet ﷺ touched it. And when he touched it, it's a sunnah, that's all. Umar radiallahu anhu came one day to the Hajj al-Aswad. And before he kissed it, he looked at it and he said, by Allah, I know you are just a stone. You don't benefit and you don't harm. By Allah, if I did not see Rasulullah s.a.w. kiss you, I would have never kissed you. Mwah! And then he moved. So why did he kiss the stone? Because he saw Rasulullah s.a.w. kiss. Did we see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissing any other stone? So why you see many people having stones and touching and this and that? And some go to Mecca and Arafah and steal stones. They steal. They bring stones with them. They say, holy land. Holy, you know it's holy and you are bringing it? It's not holy, just leave it there. Things like this. Or a tree. Tree. You touch a tree and thinking that it's holy. Or you go to a graveyard, a grave of a good man, someone maybe who has served Allah truly. He was an alim, she was an alima. They did a lot of good, alhamdulillah. You cannot go to their grave and ask Allah there. Haram. It's shirk. You go visit the grave and maybe make dua for that person. Allahumma ighfir lahu warhamhu. Ya Allah, forgive this person. But you go there and you start, Ya Allah, I'm sick. I came here to your saint, so and so. If you do that, that's the shirk. Careful, most people do that. Most Muslims do that. And today, what are the holy places in Islam? According to Quran and Sunnah, what are they? Three. Mecca, Medina, and Jerusalem. Go see how many cities are there added, like Karbala, Najaf, and. When Rasulullah said something, that's it, that's where we stop. We don't add, we don't minus. So they add. In Egypt, there are so many holy places there. In Syria, in the whole Muslim world has become, na'udhu billah, why? Shirk. Shirk, instead of focusing on Allah Azza wa Jal, only on one God. And that's it. Is this clear, my brothers and sisters?
Yes. So if we go, what is the proper adab when we go visit Rasulullah?
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Excellent. Even when people go to visit Rasulullah, there is some shirk. I'm glad you brought this issue, Sister Hanis. What are the manners? What are the adab, the ethics, the akhlaq that we should have when we go visit the grave of Rasulullah? Number one, you are entering the masjid. Please understand, you are entering the Masjid al-Nabawi. Masjid, any masjid, you should have adab, let alone the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ. When you go in, the sunnah is to enter, if you can, from the gate of As-Salam. You look for the gate of Salam and you enter from it. If you can. If you cannot, it's okay. There are many gates. Whatever you want is fine. But let's say I want to strictly follow the sunnah of Rasulullah. I arrive in Medina, I check my hotel. Now I want to go early before Salah. So I look for As-Salam masjid, door, gate. They tell me this is the one. So I go. Bismillah, I pray to rak'ahs tahiyyatul masjid. First, because I came to the house of Allah. This is the house of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ is buried there. The Prophet is not buried in the masjid. Please understand. The Prophet ﷺ was never buried in the masjid. He was buried in the room of Aisha radiallahu anha. The masjid was very small compared to what is today. If this is the masjid today, and this is where the Prophet ﷺ is buried, this was the masjid long time ago. That's all. The Sahaba were praying here. And this is the room of Aisha. But when they made the expansion, they included this, because you cannot remove the qabr of Rasulullah. You cannot remove his body. And his body is not touched. The worms don't eat the prophets, all the prophets, let alone Rasulullah. They don't eat their body. He's still there, the way Allah created him. Until Yawm al-Qiyamah. He's just sleeping, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay? If we open his grave, we will see him exactly as he was. Okay? So, since he is buried there, and next to him, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, radiallahu anhu, and next to him, Sayyidina Umar, radiallahu anhu, since we couldn't, they expanded the masjid to become this big. Is this clear?
Yes.
So please understand, this is not part of the masjid. Therefore, we cannot bury anyone in the masjid, it's haram, nor build a masjid on a grave. This is very clear a hadith of Rasulullah. Make sure no one buries you inside the masjid. And make sure no one builds a masjid on you. Say, hey, I'm here, I'm buried here. Don't build. This is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If people do otherwise, they are not following him. They are following their desires. Okay. So, when you go in, you pray here.
Sorry, is that the
Rawda? Yeah, the Rawda is here, just here. Small. So you walk to the masjid, you pray to rak'as towards Bakka, then you come, pray another two rak'ahs here in the Rawda, and then go to his grave. What do you say? You look at him, you look at his grave. You might not see the grave because there is what we call shubbak. And you say, Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah. Greetings to you, O Messenger of Allah. That's all. Then you move next. Assalamu alayka ya Abu Bakr. Greetings to you, O Abu Bakr. Then you go to Umar and you say, greetings to you, O Umar. That's all. Then you turn. You want to make dua? No problem. Turn towards the Qibla. Give your back to him, not towards him. The moment you do like this, then you are asking him. And this is the question of Sister Hanis. That's where the shirk is, you see? The Qibla is behind you. So turn towards it and then ask Allah. It is Allah who will give you. It is Allah who will join you with Him in Jannah. Nobody else. Why are you asking someone who is dead? And a lot of Muslims, you see them doing that. They may not know. We need to teach them. Is this clear?
Yes.
Okay.
What about then the shifa'ah of the... We ask for his shifa'ah.
Ah, good. When you ask for his shifa'ah, don't ask him. Ask Allah for his shifa'ah. For example, look. I say, Ya Allah, give me the shifa'ah of your Prophet. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But never ask the Prophet for shifa'ah because he is not there to hear you. He doesn't hear you. The only thing he hears is Assalamu Alaikum and Salawat. If you say, Assalamu Alaikum Ya Rasulullah, he hears you, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And he replies to you. He said, I will. And then, if you say, Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad. He said, I hear your salawat on me. It will be presented to me every day. Now, don't think the way I bring you news. Because he's in another world. He is in Barzakh. So totally different world. Okay? But it will, since he said. Other than that, if you make dua to him, it will even sadden him. Because that's not, he said, what I taught you. Ask Allah to give you my shafa'ah. So when we say, Allahumma shafi' fina rasulak. Oh Allah, please allow the shafa'ah of your Prophet to come to us. Am I asking the Prophet? No. I'm asking Allah to allow the shafa'ah of the Prophet to touch me. But I'm not asking the Prophet. You see, this is, it's a settled. Always ask Allah. That's all. Do not ask anybody else. And that's the meaning of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. You say it 17 times at least per day. We never understood it. Because we just repeat. What does it mean? Only you we worship, O Allah. And only from you we seek help. Now I'm seeking help from the Prophet ﷺ, or from Prophet Nuh ﷺ, or Prophet Ibrahim, or wherever grave I go. And those people are dead. Please understand, they died. Everything will die except Allah. And their time has come. That's it. They die physically, but they are alive in our hearts, in our minds. I'm talking about physically. We cannot ask them. So ask the one who never dies, Al-Hayyul Qayyum. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa. But you are not believing in it when you go to a graveyard. You're saying, oh Allah, you are Hayyul Qayyum. But I don't believe in that, okay? I'm going to this grave because I think he hears me. He will hear you. There are people who travel all the way to Singapore to ask Habib, I don't know who. What is this? What are you doing? Stop doing that. I love you for Allah's sake. That's why I'm telling you that. Ask the one who... Subhanallah, he's near you. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If my slaves ask you about me, I am near, he said. Very near to you. Ya Rab. All you say, Ya Allah. Allahumma. Ya Rab. That's all. You want to make it nice and more convincing? 2 rak'ahs. Make wudu and pray. And in the sujood, cry to him. And you will see. So please, shirk, this is what Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam dedicated 23 years of his life as a prophet to destroy. The shirk was so strong in the hearts of the Arabs. It took him all those years to make some common sense that God cannot be put between 4 corners in the Kaaba. God, the Lord of the Kaaba, is bigger than heavens and earth, let alone a small place on the Kaaba. So they were worshipping idols. There are many of us now who are worshipping other idols. The idol of entertainment. That's another hidden God. At least the gods that we, the Arabs and the Kuffar before were worshipping, are physical, so you can really understand. But today, when you see a sister delaying her salat for a cooking show, yet her cooking is not that good. Sorry. Then, what is she doing? Why do you make Allah wait But this cooking show, I cannot, you know, cannot let go. Our youth, soccer and movies and laptops and whatever. When Allah is saying, "Hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah," come for success. You want success. Who doesn't want to be successful in dunya and akhirah? Who? But Allah is telling you, you are not listening to Him. Another idol is the idol of fashion. Careful. If there are people waiting for the latest. For the latest. Anything. What is the latest? Subhanallah. Look at today. Today, our youth. The latest fashion and model is two sunnahs of Rasulullah. The beard. The beard has become a fashion. Have you seen in Europe?
Yes.
Europeans now keep beard. Well, that's what Rasulullah told you 1400 years ago. For men. And to a little bit shorten your clothes on top of your ankle. Now, what's the latest men fashion show? It has to be higher. We used to laugh at people who do that. Hey, are they crossing the river? Is this brother going to cross the river? But that's what Rasulullah said. Now you see, subhanAllah, very soon the hijab, I guarantee you this, the hijab will be fashion. You will see. And then you will see so many ladies wearing hijab. But not for Allah's sake, it's because Angelina Jolie has been on top of her. Yeah, you'll see. Because fitrah. It's the inner nature of human. They will go back to Allah, but it will be too late. Subhanallah. May Allah forgive us. So, this is the direct shirk. When you worship someone, or when you put someone equal with Allah. And Allah said about that, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Indeed, Allah will not forgive those who commit shirk. And He will forgive anything else other than that. So He said it, clear. Shirk, I will not forgive it. Meaning, if you die with it, and you come to me, don't ask me to forgive you. I will just put you in hell. So be careful of shirk.
We are practicing hidden shirk. We don't even know that we're practicing.
It's coming. Good. The hidden shirk is coming. That's the second. I'm coming to it. In Surah Luqman, verse 13, Allah said, "Inna shirka la zulmun azim." Indeed, shirk is a very, very big zulm, big injustice. You're doing injustice against who? Against Allah Himself. When you worship other than Allah, or a partner with Allah, or you name for Him a son, or a daughter, or na'udh billah, like the Christians and the Jews, and do, or worship an idol like the Hindus and Buddhists, you are doing shirk. And that's the biggest injustice against Allah. The other ayah is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 72. Allah says, إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ. Allah says, indeed, he who commits shirk, Allah will not, has forbidden Jannah on him, and he has made his abode in hellfire. So these verses, and the likes of these verses, make it, I mean, no doubt whatsoever, that the people who commit shirk are going to go to hell. Na'udhu billah. It is our belief as Muslims, it is part of our belief as Muslims, that he who dies mushrik, he who commits shirk and dies as such, still believing in those things, he will be in hell. And he who believed in Allah and died believing in Him, he will be in Jannah. He will be in Jannah. Even if he is going to be tormented in hellfire. Anybody who believes in God, didn't commit shirk, but committed many sins. Zina, killing, murder, rape, this person, At the end, after a while, in hellfire, Allah Azza wa Jal will take him back and send him to Jannah. But why? Why risk it, sisters and brothers? Let me bring a cigarette now and tell you, give me just a second to burn you. Would you allow me? Let me try, sister. Hanis, any fire here? Yes, you will not. You will be like, no, please don't. Allah is telling you, look, you're going to go to airport for centuries, ages. Because what is Allahu Akbar? The day, one day in the day of judgment is 50,000 years of what you've done. That's one day. 50,000 years, not 50 years, 50,000 years. Yes. So why risk it? Why risk it? We ask Allah to just give us Jannah with His Rahmah without any punishment whatsoever. Ameen, ya. The second type of shirk, this is dangerous because most Muslims fall into it. It is a riya, hidden shirk. Riya, showing off. Well, when you show off, when you want to do something so that people say, wow, what a good person this person is. When you want credit from people, when you want them to know you are doing something, that is shirk. Why? Every ibadah should be for Allah, right? When you want to worship, when you want to pray, you pray to who? When you are fasting, you're fasting to who? When you give zakat, you give zakat for the sake of who? When you go for jihad, for hajj, for umrah. Now, if you want people to know about it and call you mujahid, call you alim, call you worshipper, donor, then that is not for Allah's sake. Allah will never accept that. Excellent. So if I give something with this hand, even this hand should not know. Actually, hands don't know anything. All right. But Allah is, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching you how sincere you should be. Even if I put now my hand in this pocket and I give a certain amount of money for Allah's sake, this one shouldn't know, let alone my wife or my children or my parents or the whole world. May Allah save us. Careful. Dangerous. Really dangerous. Another thing, if I pray, I should pray also the way I should pray in the masjid publicly with the jama'ah. I should pray sometimes just in between me and Allah. Not even the spouse knows. Not like, honey, wake up, you know I'm going to pray. Eh? If you don't wake up, that's fine. As long as you know, I'm fine. Astaghfirullah. I score more than you. Scoring points now?
Riya is at the same level as shirk, so that is the worst character.
Yes, it is shirk. Riya is shirk. Why? I tell you here. Look, I'm praying now. I'm going to pray. But because I heard some of you coming, now I make the salah a little bit longer. I was about to finish. Look, I was about to say salam alaikum. Now I repeat the tahiyyat again. Because someone is walking. I want him to see me. I want him to see me praying. Have you seen this? This is dangerous. It happens a lot, sisters and brothers. Careful. This happens a lot. People do that. That's why there is a fatwa. When you go to Umrah and Hajj, be careful of this. There is a fatwa. You cannot use the phone while in tawaf. After you finish tawaf, fine. Because tawaf is like salat. Imagine I'm praying, I'm taking selfie. Allahu Akbar. When you're doing tawaf, what are you doing? It's a salat. It's a salat around the house of Allah. That's sa'i. Although you are allowed to talk, but you cannot. When you finish your tawaf, you can take few photos, but not during. A lot of people make this mistake. That's why they have no umrah, no hajj. Is this clear? So when you are in the ibadah, you cannot do anything else. And you cannot expect people to know about it. If they come to know, that's it. But don't feel like, alhamdulillah, I thought no one will see me praying. Finally someone will. No, that's wrong. That attitude is very wrong. And fasting, you should hide it. When you're fasting, let no one know about it. Because that is fasting. Fasting, the special thing about fasting, no one knows. No one knows. So, what is Riya? Allah said, look, there is an ayah. The last ayah in Surah Al-Kahf is about Riya. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا هو to finish the ayah عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ولا يشرك تأتد أدى شرك ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا عبادة he didn't say ولا يشرك بربه he said ولا يشرك بعبادة. What's the difference? Usually it's ashirku billah. Look here. Usually it's ashirku billah, right? Shirk. To do shirk with Allah. Here it's ashirku bi'ibadatillah. While you're doing ibadah, so the first shirk is direct. Like you say he has a son, or the cross, or anything. This is shirk. The second shirk, no. While you are worshipping Allah, while you are fasting, while you are jihad, while you are giving, while you are looking after orphans, you want really people to know about it. And you are upset that no media has come today. Picture. Have you seen the big check? The check is bigger than the amount. Sometimes. Who cares? But if your niyyah, listen, if your niyyah to give that, to encourage others to donate, that's different. If I give a big check to mashallah orphanage, and my niyyah is, come on guys, Petronas, where are you? Shell, where are you? Maybank, where are you? CIMB, you can give. Give to this. If they come, alhamdulillah, give. Even if they don't, my niyyah was just to encourage them. But not like... that attitude is bad. So, Allah said, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ He who truly wants to meet his Lord, فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا Let him do good. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ Be careful of riyah. While you are doing the ibadah, you don't want people to know about it. You don't care. If people come to know, fine. If they don't, alhamdulillah, you're still the same. I tell you a story of Al-Hasan ibn Ali. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. Sayyidina Hasan, grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Only the day he died, people came to know who was putting food, dinner, for all the poor of Medina. All the poor of Medina used to find some food at their door. He knows families, so what he does, he covers his face. And he comes and puts. In case someone sees him, he cannot say, who's this? Because he doesn't want to be known. The day he died and was buried, no food. So the people knew. Till that day he was giving. The day he died, no one stopped giving. Why was he covering his face? And he's the grandson of Rasulullah. Because ikhlas, he truly wanted it for Allah's sake. He didn't want anyone to know that. So hide your sadaqat, my brothers and sisters. The best sadaqah you can ever give is between you and the poor. Even when, subhanAllah, like that. Because you want... Why? I tell you why you should do that. It's for your own good. When we sin, do we want people to know about our sins?
No.
When you do something silly, do you want people to know about it?
No.
But still, you did it, right? You did it in secret, and Allah knows about it. Why don't you do something good also that only Allah knows about it? So like that, He will forgive you. You have done something silly and you really didn't want your parents or your friends or your kawan to know about it. But I know. He will look into your good deeds and He will find one or two good deeds that you have done and you really didn't want anyone. He will forgive you. Because you are sincere. It's true. When we sin, we don't want anyone to know. When we do good, we want everybody to know. What type of Muslims are we? So, why the ibadah? Because in the ibadah, while you're doing the ibadah, that nafsu, shaytan will come and when he cannot stop you, look, when he cannot stop you from salat or from umrah or from hajj or from sadaqah, he will tell you, okay, let people know about it. He can't stop you anymore. So he wants to change your niyyah. So what to do in this case? Very simple. When you are about to pray or donate or umrah or and shaytan brings this type of thoughts into your mind, just say, astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. And continue doing what you're supposed to do. That's all. Istighfar. The key is in istighfar. The success, the solution is in istighfar. You are depressed. You're sick. You're angry. Say, astaghfirullah and see. So keep saying, astaghfirullah. Wallahi al-azim, all your anger, all your sadness, all your depression, whatever, goes away. Why? Because you went back to Allah. Astaghfirullah. Wallah, I return to you. I return to you. That's it. That's it. You don't have to go to a psychologist and a psychiatrist and I don't know what. Honestly, it's turn to Allah and that's it. And that's part of Tawheed. Part of Tawheed.
Is it sufficient for us just to say astaghfirullah, or do we have to salat tawbah to rid us of this sin?
Oh, salat tawbah. Very good. Istighfar and two rak'ahs of tawbah. Two rak'ahs of tawbah. The first rak'ah, al-fatiha, al-qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Second rak'ah, al-fatiha, al-qul huwallahu ahad. And ask Allah to forgive you. That's it. And move on. And don't please keep looking at the sin. Don't keep looking back at the sin. Shaytan, may Allah curse him, keeps telling you, remember what you did in here, so and so? You remember? I don't think God will ever forgive you. It's big. You have done this. Yeah. That's what Shaytan likes to do. While Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِي. Say, oh my servants. Ya Allah, I have committed sin and you still call me my, I'm your servant? Yes. You're still mine. I didn't desert you. Allahu Akbar. Ya ibadi alladhina asrafu, you have done so many things wrong. So many sins. You have done terribly wrong. I still call you mine. Where do you find more merciful than this? Where? A father or mother, once, twice, you do something wrong, that's it. Ah. Teacher, you mess 2-3 times, you're out. Halas, bye. Your boss, yalla, fire. Especially when the economy is doing that. It's going down. Allah says, no. You have done very wrong. You're still mine. All you have to do, come back to me. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. SubhanAllah. Before he says, ask me forgiveness, he said, you'll not despair. Because that's the weakest moment in your life. When you despair, you are on your own and shaitan is all over you now. Don't despair. Allah will forgive me. Allah is Ghafur Rahim. I will do good. I will, inshallah, try my best. I will make it up for messing. I messed up this thing. I offended my parents. I brought sadness. I will, inshallah, do better. Ya Allah, I have done something wrong. Please forgive me. I will make it up. I was a thief. I have stolen people's money. I'm going, inshallah, to donate so much money, fi sabilillah. I will work hard and donate and look after the poor and the hungry and the needy. I was selfish. I will be so generous with people when it comes to time, energy, whatever. This is tawbah. Tawbah doesn't mean you just, you know, ask Allah for forgiveness and do nothing. Because Allah said, follow the sin with good deed. It will erase it. And that's why we pray to rak'ahs. Ya Allah, I have done this terrible thing. Please forgive me. Make wudu. Pray to rak'ahs. That's it. It's done. Alhamdulillah. And move on. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said about this type of shirk. He said, Iyakum wa shirk al-asghar. I warn you from the small shirk. He said, Ya Rasulullah, what is it? The Sahaba didn't know what was the small shirk. He said, Riya, showing off. Then he said, on that day, يقول الله تعالى يوم يجازي العباد بأعمالهم. On the day of judgment, when Allah rewards you according to your deeds, He will say, اذهبوا إلى الذين كنتم تراؤونهم بأعمالكم في الدنيا. نعوذ بالله. He don't want Allah to tell you this. Look what He will say to them, to those who were showing off. Go to those you are trying to impress and ask them to help you. Imagine this is said to you. You wanted to impress your father-in-law. You wanted to impress Sheikh so-and-so. You wanted to impress spouse. You wanted to impress boss. Allah says, go back to them. Go to whoever you wanted to impress and ask them for help. هَلْ تَجِدُونَ عِنْدَهُمْ جَزَاءً. Are you going to find any reward? They are themselves in big trouble. You see them talk with themselves, scared. More scared than you. Go seek help. Then you are a loser. That's why you need ikhlas. Ikhlas means no shirk whatsoever. لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى. I'm praying for Allah. I'm going to the masjid not because I'm going to meet so and so. I'm going to the masjid because I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray. I'm going to Mecca because Umrah to Umrah erase the sin. Hajj to Hajj, mashallah. Out of love to Allah and His Messenger, I'm going to Mecca and Medina out of love to Allah because that's His house there and Rasulullah says. That's it. No more, nothing else. That is ikhlas. I'm going to visit so-and-so, brother so-and-so, or sister so-and-so who is sick, not because I expect anything from them, for Allah's sake, because they are sick, or they came from Hajj or Umrah, pay them, inshallah, a courtesy visit, something like this. So may Allah purify our intentions. So enough discussion about shirk, unless there is question. If there is question about shirk, I would love to answer it. The second major sin is murder. Second major sin is murder, killing. First is shirk. First is shirk with its two kinds. There are two kinds of shirk. Direct shirk and hidden shirk. That's one. Now the second. Killing someone. Murdering. Killing a human being. Second, yes, is the second most dangerous sin you commit in life. And we need to be very careful about this. Why? Because during anger, you may think of killing someone, by the way. And that's haram thought, if it crosses your mind. I'm going to kill him. And shaitan starts showing you all type of killings. Hanging, poisoning, throwing, burning, shooting. That's bad. That's bad soul. That's Ammara Bisu, the soul that commands the commanding with evil. No. We need to have the soul of Habil, not the soul of Qabil. Cain, when he wanted to kill his brother Abel, he said, لَأَقْتُلَنَّكَ. I will kill you. The other one said, if you stretch your hand to kill me, I will not stretch my hand to kill. He didn't think of the same things. He was purer. The heart was good. The other one said, I will kill you. The other one said, if you stretch your hand to kill me, I will never do the same. So which soul you may have? The soul of Qabil, you know yourself better. Don't answer. Don't say, I'm Qabil for sure. I don't want to know. It's really serious, dangerous. When you are angry with someone, you may think it may cross your mind. And that's dangerous. Even in the level of thoughts, we need to purify our hearts and minds. Allah says about this major sin. This is why it is a major sin. Look what He said. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. This is Surah Nisa. Surah Nisa, verse 93. Amazing. This sin also is mentioned in Surah Nisa. Uh-oh, women. Why? Perempuan, what's going on in your mind? أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. Okay. Allah said, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا condition. And he who kills a mu'min, if you kill a Muslim, with intention, you intentionally wanted to kill him or her, look what will happen to you.
فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمُ خَالِدًا فِيهَا.
Pertama, satu, number one. The reward is Jahannam, forever, forever. Uh-oh, I thought Allah will get us out of Jahannam. We're coming. Number two. وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. And Allah will be angry at him or her. وَلَعَنَهُ. لَعْنَ. Curse forever. وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And he has prepared for him a very severe punishment. Four things for a killer. For killing an innocent person. Mu'min, Muslim, who said La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So it's serious. So we don't kill. Today, the culture that we are living in, does it teach you this verse? Or teaches you that to be cool, kill someone? Look at the games of the kids, the games of our children, all of them about killing and shooting and smashing hands, and the screen has to be full of blood.
Yes.
Right or wrong?
Yes.
Sometimes you watch a Hollywood or Bollywood movie and you sympathize with the killer. Without you knowing, you become a killer sympathizer. And sometimes if it was me, the actor, I would have killed him many times, not just one time. So you become more than the actor. And that is the culture we are living in. Dangerous. Sometimes you sympathize with the zina. That girl, she was cheating on her husband, and you, oh, poor girl, I'm crying with her because she didn't meet her lover. But she's a married woman, that's zina, that's cheating. So you see, it is hard to practice Islam at the end of time. Rasulullah, that's why he said to the Sahaba, I wish I have seen my brothers. They said, Ya Rasulullah, aren't we your brothers? He said, no, you are my companions. You've seen me. My brothers and sisters, that is you and me, inshallah, are those who believe in me without seeing me. We didn't see him. We love him, Rasulullah, inshallah, ya. We hope we are sincere in our love to him. So he said, the last amongst them, in practicing Islam, will be like the best amongst them. Allahu Akbar. True, because they didn't have the fitna. I give you an example. They didn't have TV. TV takes a lot of our time from our children and our loved ones and wives and this and that. Just the TV. They didn't have TV, so they had more communication. Salam, how are you? Blah, blah, blah. Today we are. We are communicating with, but not with each other. The videos, the games, the dunya we are in, may Allah save us. Now we are driving and there is a screen, that's dangerous. You are watching your Korean movie while driving towards home. 99% you will not reach home. Either Mati or you're going to Korea. You find yourself in Seoul. Honestly, that day I was driving and I saw a car, and there is a big screen. And I said, Ya Allah, I hope someone else is watching. When I look, only one driver, no one else. Dangerous. Maybe you can say the guy next to the driver is looking, watching. What is that? And then you say, accident. So, the level of fitna is too much. I just gave you a few examples. So nowadays, movies, you love to kill. Most of movies now is killing. There must be killing. An act of zina or an act of murder. Or both. in order to call it action movie. Blockbuster. Blockbuster. It will bust the whole block. And you're still watching? You're in danger, man. Mega movie. They say mega, right? They say, when are we going to wake up and know that this is dangerous for all of us? وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ Anger of Allah وَلَعَنَهُ لَعْنَهُ فَاللَّهُ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا And Allah has prepared for him a very severe punishment. So alhamdulillah, we belong to the culture that says, don't even think of killing. In the Western culture, kill, it's easy, okay. No. Alhamdulillah. So which one is better? Allahu Akbar. Which culture is better? Where Allah, you grow up with this verse. Surah An-Nisa, verse 93. Surah 4, verse 93. Or movie 300 of Hollywood in killing. Choose. Another verse. Surah Al-Furqan. Amazing. In Surah Al-Furqan, when Allah mentions the criteria, the characteristics of the believers, He said, the believers who will be called Ibad al-Rahman, the true special elite of Allah, Ibad of al-Rahman, may Allah make us amongst them. Yawm al-Qiyamah you'll be called Ibad al-Rahman, get up, Allahu Akbar, you find yourself amongst them. Ya Allah, you were doing certain things. Amongst them this, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَٰهًا آخَرٍ Shirk. They never committed shirk. They have never invoked anyone beside Allah. ولا يقتلون النفس التي حرم الله إلا بالحق and they don't kill. They have never killed except with truth, jihad, executing criminal, self-defense, but not because you took something from me or because I do deserve to be in this place and not you, and I, you know, get rid of you and this and that. نعوذ بالله. So the second after shirk, according to Surah Al-Furqan, is they don't kill. Alhamdulillah. Thank Allah if you have never killed someone. Thank Allah. Say Alhamdulillah. Yeah.
What about
animal? Animal different. If you kill them for fun, there is a severe punishment for it. There are people who kill for fun, like hunting. When they go hunt, I feel like killing someone today. Then they see monkey. Boom. You kill monkeys. You crazy. I feel like killing a cow. I shoot. I need to shoot. Cow is grazing. What is that? But killing, for example, a rabbit, and you go and eat it or donate it. You catch a fish, but you don't overfish. How many fish you gonna catch? Look at these outdoor channels, movies, and fishing, crazy fisher. They teach you, like, just go and have fun. Kill as many tunas as you can. Be careful of sport. Sport, they call it sport fishing and sport hunting. You don't do that for sports. You want sports? No problem. There are good games for sports. There is swimming, there is running, jogging, there is golf, there are many things. Go, no problem. But you want to have fun in the creation of Allah, shooting, just for the sake of shooting. Like they are doing, some people, in the desert of Algeria, they are killing hundreds of deers. To reproduce, do you know how many years you need? Just for fun. Just because they have the money and they can come to the country and hunt. For fun. Because that's part of their culture. No, we are Muslims. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got so angry at some sahaba when he saw a bird turning around his tent. A bird was turning around his tent and scared. Turning around his tent. He said, Man abza'a hadhi? SubhanAllah, look how merciful he was. He said, who has scared this animal? So some sahaba said, oh, Messenger of Allah, maybe she's looking for this nest. They had a nest where one of her babies was there. So she was looking for the baby. He was so merciful. He said, put it back where it was. Give her back her child. Do you want someone to kidnap your child? He said, that's kidnapping. But we don't call it for animals. We call it only for humans. Yes, sir. Sure.
Killing ants.
Very good. Killing ants is haram. Don't kill ants. Listen. The presence of ants in your house is a good thing. Ants, not cockroaches. Ants. Ants should not be killed. The presence of ants means two things. Mean that you don't have termite. If you have ants, it means you don't have termite. Is this clear? Because ants feed on termite. So don't say, I have a lot, so they may be there. No. It could be also a sign of blessing, that you are being blessed. So just clean, but don't kill them. Don't go and start stepping on them. And the worst kill is by fire. Do not kill by fire. Do not, like some people go and put kerosene on the nest and put fire. Don't do that. And when they are outside, why do you disturb them? Are they inside the house, in the bedroom, or in the kitchen? Or are they in the garden? Garden, leave them alone. Kitchen, still don't kill them. Leave them alone. Ants are okay. They are good friends. And it could be that you have also a lot of food. Hold on. It could be that you have a lot of food. They are scavengers. What do you call it? Yeah. Scavengers. They go and eat the remaining. So they clean you. But you don't know. They are helping you on your killing. You say, oh man, you are angry too. Okay? This is why some of the reasons why you may have ants. Okay? Yes.
I was told by my auntie, actually. If you were to...
We know. Your auntie Shanaz?
Yeah. If you know, ants inside, you tend to get forgetful. Is that true?
If... No. But look. If a fly falls, if anything falls inside, dip it, remove it, and then drink. But don't spill. Rasulullah says, especially a fly. If a fly falls, don't remove it, dip it. Dip it. Why?
Check it out.
Easy. Now Sheikh Zubair is drinking his coffee, right? Bismillah. I see a fly. Hold on. Fly. Dip it, and then remove it, and then drink. Why? This is 1500 years ago, Rasulullah ﷺ told us this. Amazing. One wing has dots. One wing has antidotes. So you don't know which wing fell. Make sure both wings are inside. So there will be no poison, no harm whatsoever. When the Westerners studied this hadith and found out, they found out what I said just now. Many of them became Muslims. They said, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Because no one knew this before we discovered why. So this is why Rasulullah said, deep.
Why did you just leave the box?
Now, if you don't want, you have plenty, it's okay, yeah. Throw it. But let's say that's the only cup of coffee you have for the next month. And you love coffee. It's okay. Alright? Likewise, if you find a dead mouse or a dead rat, listen, if you find it in fluid, throw all the fluid. Let's say you found a mouse inside your cooking oil. All the cooking oil should be thrown. But you find that on your cheese or cheese or something not fluid. Dairy, your something like cheese or zubda. What is zubda?
Butter.
So what you do? Remove it and remove what is around it. And you can keep that one. You don't have to throw it. rat or mouse. No, you don't have to. You just know. Just learn. Just learn. This is knowledge. To practice it or not is up to you. Not so you have plenty, but know that people don't know the luxury that you have, my sister or brother. Is this clear? Some people, that's all they have. For many months, they have to depend on that 1 kilo of butter that they have. And they will do everything to preserve it because that's how they cook or how that's how they survive. So should they? Allah is showing us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why? SubhanAllah, when it's fluid, the germs spread. When it is not, the germs don't spread. So you don't have to clear everything. But let's say you don't want, that's fine. You get rid of it.
Excuse me, Sheikh, I just want to go back to our sharing just now. Mm. What do you think of this Purubatak Islam?
What is Purubatak?
The Ustaz who says they use the Al-Quran to
treat
the
okay. Healing with the Quran is part of the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we have never seen the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam healing people or trying to cure people with Quran only. He always recite Quran on someone or tell him to recite Quran and say, seek medicine. Go and drink, for example, something, medicine, have it. So, if anyone just tell me, by just reading Quran, you're gonna be well, I tell him, wait. Because the Prophet himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ دَاءٍ دَوَاءً إِلَّا الْمَوْتِ وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ إِلَّا الْكِبَرِ. For every disease, Allah has put a cure. Look for it. Except death, there is no cure for it, or old age. You cannot go back. You cannot go back, except in Hollywood. 80 years old, they turned her into 18 years old. So what I mean, please read Quran on someone who is sick, because there are many diseases that come, that are spiritual, by the way. They are not physical. I know for sure there are diseases that have nothing to do with your physiology. It's an evil eye. And you feel so hot. You feel like about vomiting. It's an evil eye. You read some Quran, you'll see. You'll be okay. So it could be that. But someone is sick with back pain, and I'm just reading Quran. What is the painkillers? Where are the physiotherapy? You need to do those things. Otherwise, we will look so bad. And sometimes we give very bad name to Islam, we the Muslims. There is no one who has hurt Islam more than Muslims. Please understand this. When they laugh at us, when they see us, for example, doing certain things. Yes, Quran, I will read Quran on you. And I will listen to the Quran that you read on me. But I need to still take some antibiotics. No, you just believe in this. It doesn't work like that. So Rasulullah used to tell people, yes, I can read Quran and ask Allah to give you shifa, but still you have to take medicine. But don't believe in the medicine. It's not the medicine that gives you cure. It's just sabab. Is this clear? This is the right approach about medicine.
What it is to handle black magic?
Black magic, we're coming to it. Sorcery. Good question. You have to know first what causes sorcery. Then you will know how to heal it. If I am a doctor and you come to me and say, Sheikh Zubair, I'm sick. I need to first check your pulse, look at your eyes, diagnose. Once I know, I will prescribe the medicine. No. I just think you have evil eye or shaitan or sihr or sin. I need first to know. So that's why we're going to talk after this, inshallah, if we have time, about sorcery, which is a major problem in Islam. A lot of people use sorcery. You'll be amazed how many people use sorcery. Black magic, sihir, bomo.
Evil eye is different.
Evil eye is different, but it is connected to shayateen, to the devils. So sorcery and evil eye are a little bit connected. I will explain. Just Tungu, please. So Allah mentioned killing in Surah Al-Furqan after shirk. He said, وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَدْعُونَ مَعَ اللَّهِ إِلَهًا, those who don't commit shirk and those who don't kill. So in the Quran, killing is secondary to shirk. وَلَا يَزْنُونَ, they don't commit zina, etc. In another verse, Allah said, مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَكَأَنَّمَا قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا وَمَنْ أَحْيَاهَا فَكَأَنَّمَا أَحْيَى النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. Beautiful ayah. This is who we are. Why they keep saying Muslims are terrorists? Look what Allah says in our book. They never show you this verse. They never show you this verse. I challenge the kuffar. They know the Quran. Why they don't bring this verse in CNN? Verse Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, verse 32. What is it? What is Allah saying there? Min ajli dhalik, we have written upon the children of Israel that this is the Quran, that if you kill one innocent life or commit mischief on earth, as if you killed all mankind. And you, if you save one life, if you are a doctor, a nurse, or an ordinary person, you save a life. You find someone about to die, you rush him to the hospital. You find a child drowning in Sungai, you jump, you save life. You do anything. You save a life as if you saved all mankind. This is who we are. This is the Muslim. But in the media, what do you see us? Killers. This, that. That's what the West wants us. But we are not that.
But sure, the fact is that we Muslims ourselves feel that it's all right to be suicide bombers and
kill people. No, that's wrong. Why? Again, because no one is teaching the right Islam. I mean, not no one. Very few. And the ulama who speak the truth, we don't want them to speak. Why? Because sometimes they bother us. You know, they may say something we don't like. It's okay. But I know that alim is very healthy for the community. Why I shut him down and make someone puppet? Because he will say exactly what I want. No, we need to be honest. I agree that there are people who, in the name of Islam, they do horrible things. But how many? How many in 1.7 billion? Why you paint the whole 1.7? Am I one of them? Are you one of them? You are not. So why they say every Muslim is terrorist? Hey, not every Muslim is terrorist, but every terrorist is a Muslim. Why? If we compare how many people are killed by Muslims versus how many people are killed by non-Muslims or by Christians or Americans, just Americans, we will see who is the terrorist. Don't accept that. And you stop people right there before they continue discussing with you. I don't allow you. You cannot allow them to further the discussion, because that's, they have won that. That's it. One of the best media discussions I have seen in my life was between the ambassador of Lebanon and CNN right after 9/11. And they brought this guy and they wanted Fox. And he was very smart. This diplomat was good. I don't think he will ever return. Every question they ask about terrorism in the Middle East, he says Sharon is the terrorist. Israel is the terrorist. But sir, I'm asking you this. Well, you brought me. I have 5 minutes. I have to say whatever I want. They want you to say something, and then based on that, you know, they will capitalize on it. He was very strong. Whatever question he said, Sharon is, Israel is occupying Muslim land. That's because why there is this. Wherever they go. So he was smart. He didn't answer the question. He used that 5 minutes live very well. How many of us are that smart? Human rights in the Muslim world, what are they about? The right of people to do whatever they want. How about my right? to go Qiyamul Layl anywhere in any masjid. No. But someone can drive Jalan at 4 a.m. It's okay. I'm just giving you the West, the rights, the human rights, they mean white rights. If you are Uram Pute, you have rights. If you are Arab or African or Middle Eastern or Asian, you have no rights. So please, when they say human rights, they mean Uram Pute. Faham? Okay.